From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and the world. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information jotted down, if you haven't done so already, on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Before we go to our callers, I want to mention something that's been on my heart, and that is the subject of abortion. I think sometimes we have abortion fatigue. In other words, we've heard about the subject over and over again. We say, got that. But there's a very significant war that's being waged. And I mean significant. You think about what our president said during his term. In one of his addresses to Planned Parenthood, he talked about how every day in every state, in every center, Planned Parenthood operates, and as a result, there are lives being saved, women being empowered, families being strengthened. He said, that's why no matter how great the challenge, no matter how fierce the opposition, if there's one thing the past few years have shown, it's that Planned Parenthood is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere today. It's not going anywhere tomorrow. He ends his speech saying, thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you. And then I came across a story in the New York Times. This story is something that I imagine most people are familiar with at this point. But it is the story of how the Obama administration issued a final rule on Wednesday, that's just December 14th this year, to bar states from withholding federal family planning funds from Planned Parenthood affiliates and other health clinics that provide abortions. And the measure takes effect 2 days before the January 20th inauguration. All of that is prologue to another story, which is a story by Lena Dunham, who said that she wished she hadn't had, I still haven't had an abortion. These words are hard to read, quite frankly. I still haven't had an abortion, she said, but I wish I had. She happens to be speaking at the Politics, Sex, and Cocktails presented by Planned Parenthood recently at the Pacific Design Center in Los Angeles, California. But anyway, in her speech, she talks about women of the hour and something that she thought about for a long time, and that is the fact, she says, that there is a stigma around abortion. Let me quote her directly. We all know there's a cultural stigma. It's hard to put abortion on network television. Then she goes on to say, but one day when I was visiting a Planned Parenthood in Texas just a few years ago, a young girl walked up to me and asked me if I'd like to be part of her project in which women share their stories of abortions. I sort of jumped. I haven't had an abortion, I told her. I wanted to make it really clear to her that as much as I was going out and fighting for other women's options, I myself had never had an abortion. And then I realized that even I was carrying within myself stigma about this issue. Even I, the woman who cares as much as anyone about a woman's right to choose, felt it was important that people know I was unblemished in this department. And then Lena Dunham said that many of her loved ones have had to have abortions for all kinds of reasons. Said Dunham, "I feel so proud of them for their bravery, for their self-knowledge. It was a really important moment for me to realize I had internalized some of what society was throwing at us, and I had to put it in the garbage. Now, I can say that I still haven't had an abortion, but I wish I had." Again, Lena Dunham, the actress, saying that she hasn't had an abortion, but she wishes she had had an abortion. So she wishes that she had been involved in the painful killing of an innocent human being. I say painful because the child that is terminated by methods that involve burning and smothering and dismembering and crushing. I say it's the painful killing in that from the beginning, that which is terminated fulfills the criteria necessary for establishing the existence of biological life. And I say innocent in that a preborn child deserves protection rather than capital punishment. A human being, in that the child who is killed is the offspring of human parents and has a totally distinct genetic code. So Obama and Lena Dunham are using clever code words. This is the opium of the pro-abortion lobby. These words are specifically designated to dull human sensibilities to the horrors of abortion. Even the moniker Planned Parenthood may well be the quintessential example of a clever code moniker, because the positive ring of the words masks the horrific reality that to abort a preborn child is to terminate a life. And as Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger famously pontificated, "The most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it." She understood exactly what was going on. And this was before the advent of sonograms. These kinds of killings are positively repositioned as pro-choice prerogatives. The preborn child terminated, well, they are indelicately rendered fetuses, another clever code word. And pro-life advocates are profanely recast as social extremists. So on the one hand, as Lena Dunham says, the people that have them are brave. They have self-understanding, but the ones against it, well, they're social extremists. You talk about where we're going with social extremism, one need look no farther than Time magazine. I was absolutely appalled as I took out my latest edition of Time magazine, Trump on the cover. Page 14, there's a caption and a picture. First the caption under the picture, then I'll describe the picture. The caption says, "My brother Evan never stopped wanting to have a baby. This spring he gave birth to his first child." And then you have the picture. It is the picture of, well, maybe I should say it is the story about Evan coming out as transgender. And then in big, bold letters, all caps, Time Magazine writes, "The most beautiful process in the world has now been shared with a man." And you see the man with facial hair, his tank top down, his breast out, and a suckling child. This may well be the quintessence of dangerous, self-delusional indulgence perfectly positioned in a post-truth culture, and all of that featured in a post-truth magazine, Time Magazine. I'm starting to think about whether I should continue to subscribe to this kind of narrative that is so dangerous and deflective. Self-indulgent, dangerous, delusional. Well, that's the world in which we live. We can curse the darkness or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. This is one of the reasons we're asking people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. You can support this ministry in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, and I hope many of you will. We need you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth in a post-truth culture. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Christine, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Hank. It's nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you as well.
Is not the greatest today, so my apologies. Now, you have enlightened me as to the Mormons' outlook on God and Jesus and how they're not really Christians. And I know a lot of people listen to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir that their worship of Jesus is just fantastic. But I know that they're not really worshiping the Christian Jesus. So what's your take on this?
Well, I think you're wise to point this out. That's exactly right, Christine. I mean, this is the issue. It's another Jesus. It's another gospel. And not only that, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir not only worships a different Jesus, but they worship Joseph Smith, the very founder of the Mormon cult, who has led millions into the abyss of Mormonism. And as I've mentioned on many shows, I've put together a flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. I think it's very, very helpful in that it makes the subject matter memorable, and it is available for those who support the ministry. You can find it on the web at equip.org. There's also a little booklet that you can find on the web on the Mormon Mirage. In addition to that, all kinds of resources, which will equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. One of the things I want to point out in this regard, and thanks for the call, Christine, is that what I do is I contrast truth and error. Contrast is the mother of clarity. How do you know that a stick is crooked? Well, you lay a straight stick next to it. And so what I do is I take the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith, not non-essential, secondary issues, but essential doctrines, and I compare and contrast what Christianity teaches with respect to those essentials and what Mormonism teaches. So, for example, if you look at the deity of Jesus Christ, as Christine so well pointed out, Mormons deny the unique deity of Jesus Christ. Indeed, they go so far as to render Jesus Christ a mere spirit brother of Lucifer. And of course, they have an altogether different God. And they say that as God is, we may become. And as man is, God once was. Now, in Christianity, we may become gods not in the sense that we are gods by nature, but rather participate in the nature of God by grace. But they are using this idea in a completely convoluted way, in which if you reach the highest level of their heaven, you can become a god in your own right, and you can rule from your own planet. They have a completely different view of God and of the creation that God has made, by the way. And they think that their Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion. This is a pernicious cult in that it is compromising, confusing, and contradicting outright the essentials of the Christian faith. Not a cult necessarily from a sociological perspective, but necessarily from a theological perspective. Right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong and prepared for even greater ministry in 2017. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence, and beyond question, the existence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Russell Kirk has captured our modern plight, stating, "A good many people fret themselves over the rather improbable speculation that the Earth may be blown asunder by nuclear weapons. The grimmer and more immediate prospect is that men and women may be reduced to a subhuman state through limitless indulgence in their own vices, with ruinous consequences to society. But despite the darkness, the good news is that believers can help others and themselves become winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of CRI's life-changing work, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Stu Epperson's First Words of Jesus, which poignantly connects the story of Christmas with the victory of the cross and resurrection. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? In these his first recorded words, the Lord Jesus discloses to us the essence of his nature and his purpose. Stu Epperson Jr. helps us to understand and celebrate the matchless gift of the Incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, in the new book, First Words of Jesus, From Cradle to Cross. To receive your copy of First Words of Jesus as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Brad, listening in Modesto, California. And Brad is listening on KCIV. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Hank. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you, I had heard you before a couple of times, I believe, with the strict, and I believe in in the sound way that you teach the doctrine of our Lord, but I was kind of confused on only pretty much one thing, and that's that the Jews don't have the same God that we have, and that kind of confused me.
Yeah, well, a couple of things about that. First, I would say that when you talk about Jews, you're not talking about a monolith. You're talking about multifaceted Jewish constructs. For example, you have Orthodox Judaism or Torah Judaism, which is different from Reform Judaism, which is different from Conservative Judaism. So you don't want to paint with too broad a brush here. But in general, for Jews that do believe in God, and there are Jews that do not, they believe in a monotheistic God as opposed to a Trinitarian God. The difference is pretty stark. Christians believe in one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. A Christian would tell you that Jesus Christ is God. A Jew who believes in God would say that Jesus Christ is not God. In fact, that it is either blasphemous or ridiculous to suppose that Jesus Christ is God. So in a very clear sense, Jews who are monotheistic and Christians who believe in a triadic one have a completely different sense of who God is.
So how do we draw the line between it is the same Yahweh, and at the same time we know that they hung Jesus Christ because they could not believe that a man would call himself God, even though we know that it was prophetical through Ezekiel and so on about the branch, you know, God calling himself the branch springing forth, you know, from that Jesus Christ. Is there a fine line there, or is there not?
Well, there's a very definitive line there. It's a line of demarcation, and that is when they speak of Yahweh, and correctly so in the Old Testament sense. What they are doing is they're using words and pouring meanings into those words, as we all do. So the issue is not whether they believe in Yahweh and whether a Christian believes in Yahweh. Yes, both do. But a Jewish person pours a completely different meaning, as I said, a monotheistic meaning into the word God, whereas a Christian pours a triadic one meaning into the word God. So we believe in one God, and within the Godhead there are three centers of consciousness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have eternally been in a love relationship with one another, and even that independent of the universe. And you have to realize that the Jewish view of God, very much like the Muslim view of God, is a morally defective view of God, because if God is not, a triadic one, then God cannot manifest independent of the universe the attribute of love, because love always requires an object of love, someone to love. So the Judaistic view of God is a morally defective view of God. It's only a Trinitarian view of God that elevates God to his certain majesty. And of course, we believe in what we cannot fully comprehend, but we believe it because we apprehend this in the pages of scriptures. So Christians believe in monotheism, but not Unitarian monotheism. 1 John, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also.
So pretty much I'm kind of following that. And I believe exactly what you're saying, that it's kind of an incomplete view or description of Yahweh when they stop at Jesus Christ.
Well, it's completely wrong-headed, because Jesus Christ demonstrated that he is God. The Jewish leaders were culpable for not recognizing that the temple, not built by human hands, was in their midst. I said this, I think, on yesterday's broadcast. Only one could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Only one could fulfill the requirement of ancestry and birthplace, the conditions of his death, the date of his visitation, the fact that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he would fulfill the law and the prophets, and that he would be a light to the Gentiles as well. Only Jesus could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophets. And yet, the Jews and the teachers of the law, with requisite knowledge, denied that Jesus Christ was God. Why? Because they did not want to lose their social standing, their positions. And they went as far, they had the temerity to say that Jesus did what he did by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So they took the works of God and attributed them to Satan. Pretty strong.
Which is beautifully put. I thank you very much for that, because there's so much light within what you just said, that if you don't read the Bible, you're not going to even know what the switch is, and you have to do your research, and you have to pound those books, because the truth is out there, and you just can't fall short. That's the problem, you know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call so much, Brad. And again, this is not one of those tangential issues, is it? It is one of those central issues. Virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to James in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. James is listening on WTRU. Hi, James.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing
well.
Hope
you had a great day.
I have.
All right. My question is, I was having discussions with a couple of friends, and I was wanting to know, is it biblical for a person to study up under somebody before becoming a pastor or a minister, or is that just a traditional thing in the church?
Well, I don't think it's mandatory in every single case, but I think it's extraordinarily helpful. We all need mentors, and I've been privileged to have many fantastic mentors in my life, and I don't know where I would be without them. I learned not only how to communicate from those mentors, how to take the gift that God has given me and use it properly within ministry, but how to reach people without repelling them. In other words, there's so many things that were modeled by people that had gone before me, and I could look at them and they became mentors for me. Now, that's not only people who are alive and some have now passed away, but also I can look back at mentors in the past. My wife loves the great fathers. She's always reading about the great fathers because there are testimonies there. You think about Polycarp, who was in succession to the Apostle John. You had only once removed, really. And you had Polycarp, great, great example of standing for truth. So you had John, Irenaeus, and then you had Polycarp. Polycarp said, when he was asked to deny Jesus Christ, 86 years I have served him. Will I deny the one who saved me? And so Polycarp was willing to be burned to death. What an example of standing for truth no matter what the cost. So, yeah, lots of mentors, biblical mentors, and we have the great fathers throughout church history. We have so many examples. The quintessential example maybe of all the saints is Mary, her humility and her being the bearer of Theotokos, the Mother of God. All of that so beautiful. So those in the past and those in the present. If you want to read about those in the past, the best chapter in the whole Bible for that, in my estimation, Hebrews chapter 11.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because the thing was, the discussion was that somebody felt led to, and somebody else told them, well, you need to study under somebody. So it was a little different. It was a conflict, and I didn't really know how to, you know, I know brought up, being brought up, I know, you know, I heard about, you know, studying under a person, being under shepherd and all that, but I just didn't know. I really wanted more clarification on it.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I might say, James, is it's not an either or, it can be a both and. In other words, I know that I was involved in ministry while I was being mentored by someone. So in other words, as I was involved in ministry, I was being mentored. And you know, your well just keep getting deeper and deeper as people, you know, pour into you. So there's a sense of accountability that I'm talking about that I think is really, really crucial in this mentorship accountability relationship.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, the giving me a little bit more in depth in that.
You got it. Yeah, I as you look at John the Apostle, and then you have a Polycarp, who I mentioned, a direct disciple of John, and then Irenaeus, who heard Polycarp speak when he was a young man. So you have this sense of mentorship and relationship. And so, as I said, we can go to the past. We can also go directly to the Bible and see that great cloud of witnesses. I love that passage in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. The examples are myriad. When we come back from the break, the quote of the day, and many more answers to your questions. Do remember the CRI support team. If you can join, please do so right away. I mean, we'd love to have you on board for the remainder of this year and all of 2017 and beyond. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member or friend. Again, the quote of the day, right after the break, and more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. With about 2 trillion galaxies, each with billions of stars, the numbers simply boggle the mind. Yet the psalmist says, "The Lord determines the number of stars and calls them each by name." As technology advances, what astronomers once thought were flickering stars turn out to be inconceivably immense galaxies at distances they could not begin to fathom. The Heavens Proclaim His Glory is the title of a new book offering a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope in full-colored pictures. This beautifully crafted book will ignite conversation and keep before your consciousness the majesty of God. To receive your copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now, with more of the answers you need today, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from an atheist, emblematic of the fact that all truth is God's truth. Very, very brilliant atheist, by the way. Grew up in a Muslim context. Her name is Ayan Hirsi Ali. Absolutely lovely person. When you hear her speak, she's not only quotable, but very, very elegant. She said, when I was in Holland, and she was a government official in Holland, the place where I was born, when I was in Holland, she said, the idea was all cultures are equal and all are to be preserved. My idea was no. All humans are equal, but not all cultures are equal. And she's absolutely right. We're equal. Why? Because all of us have the Imago Dei, the image and likeness of God, and that's what gives us inherent worth. If you can look at another person and think that that person is less than you somehow because of pigmentation or color of eyes or whatever sociological or genealogical explanation you can come up with, perhaps you haven't been to the foot of the cross. Because as Jesus Christ has made very clear in his word, God does not show favorites. Paul said it beautifully. He said, in Christ there's no male or female. In other words, it's not a function of gender. There's no slave or free. It's not a function of anyone's status. And he said, there is no Jew or Greek. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. Think about that. You are the royal seed of Abraham. It doesn't get any better than that. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nathan listening in Ventura, California, an iDisciple. Hi, Nathan.
Yes, hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
It's such an honor and a pleasure to speak with you. I definitely look up to you.
Thank you.
So I have a question. My uncle and I have been going back and forth on this concept of nothing can separate us from God's love, and he seems to be under the belief that you can be a Christian and take the mark of the beast, or you're not a Christian and you can be like, oops, I took the mark of the beast, I want to be saved by grace now. And when I read Revelation 14, 9 through 11, it kind of explains the total opposite of that. So I'm looking for clarity here, because he's going off of some quote that John MacArthur gave at one time, saying that you could still obtain salvation through the mark. If you have the mark of the beast, you can ask for forgiveness, because there's nothing you can do that could separate you from God's love. So I'm a little confused here on this subject.
Sure. I write about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Make three basic points. The first point is that biblically the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. So just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation 14, which you mentioned, symbolizes identity with the beast, so you have an identity with the Lamb. If the Lamb's name is written on your forehead. Now, that doesn't mean that God, as I've said before, has some kind of a magic marker in his hand and is writing 144,000 on your forehead, nor does it mean that somehow or other you have some silicon microchip inserted in your body if you have the mark of the beast. The foreheads and the hands are Old Testament symbols of a person's belief and behavior. In other words, what you do and your worldview identifies you in terms of who you belong to, either the Lamb or the beast. So all people in the world are in one of two categories. They are either those who are the very people who have 144,000 written on their foreheads, in other words, part of the full complement of God's people, or conversely, they are part of the kingdom of darkness. Those are essentially the only two, not essentially, those are the only two options. In terms of taking the mark of the beast inadvertently, it is the intentional denial in thought, word, and deed of the Lordship of Jesus Christ that means that you are part of the kingdom of darkness. And therefore, rather than fearfully avoiding, like many people are doing, microchip type technology, we should fear resisting the temptation to be conformed to the world, and we should rather be conformed by the renewing of our minds. We must boldly accept the mark of the Lamb by offering our bodies as living sacrifices and being not conformed, as I said, but transformed. And these are not my words. These are the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. So I think here's the problem. I think many people that come to Revelation, they don't know how to read Revelation. So they only can see what the paradigm that they have allows them to see, and they force everything into that paradigm. I think far better that we examine the paradigm that we're using.
So I'm just, my only thing is that, I guess, do you believe, or what is your conception on, if someone does take the mark of the beast, can they reverse that and say, oh, man, I made a mistake, I need to give my life over to Christ?
Well, first of all, as I said, the mark of the beast is not something that can be taken inadvertently. It is an intentional denial in thought, word, and deed of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, what I'm saying is the mark of the beast is emblematic of being part of the kingdom of Satan, part of the kingdom of darkness. And if you're in the kingdom of darkness, you can come to the kingdom of light. The Holy Spirit woos all of us. We can respond to that wooing, or we can reject that wooing. So certainly someone who is in the kingdom of darkness can come into the kingdom of light. And when they do, they are part of the full complement of God's people, the great cloud of witnesses, as it were, or the 144,000. This is the purified bride, obviously, in Revelation that Jesus Christ carries over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. And that new Jerusalem is a place in which there'll be no more sin, death, no more Satan, no more suffering. The old order of things will have passed away. So the mark of the beast is not a physical mark, just as the mark of the Lamb is not a physical mark. It is your thoughts and your worldview, what you do, identifies you in terms of who you belong to.
Okay, so in layman terms, yes, they could repent and...
Well, certainly, as long as you're alive, you can you can become a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, absolutely.
Okay, well, that was my question, you know, just because I was a little confused on where my uncle was coming from and, you know, reading the scriptures, you know.
Well, maybe the real issue here becomes learning to read Revelation in the sense in which it's intended. I wrote a book about that called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. It's an explication of the book of Revelation. So it will help you read Revelation in the sense in which it is intended. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Vernon, listening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Vernon.
Hi. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to speak with you, Brother Hank.
Thank you. Nice to talk
to
you.
My question to you, sir, explaining to someone, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of sin. The question, then why then in that redemption would not God wipe out sickness, death, and give restoration to the whole that is already? And have and eradicated, dealt with Satan and all of that he represents, and destroyed him at the cross.
Yeah, I say thank God he didn't, because if he did that, I would no longer be doing the broadcast, because I'm riddled with sin. All of us are, and the universe itself is groaning in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. I oftentimes thank God that Jesus Christ has not yet come a second time. That might sound even heretical, but think about it. I think about the many, many people that have not come to know Jesus Christ. I think about the work that needs to be done all over the world. And I thank the Lord that in His grace, He continues to give us an opportunity to spread the message of redemption to a fallen world until that time when Jesus appears a second time. Because when that happens, then all sin will be eradicated. The problem of Satan will forever be dispensed with. the universe, as I just mentioned, Paul says it in Romans chapter 8, now groaning in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And what happens to the earth goes hand in hand with what happens to us. At that time, we will translate from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable, from corruptible to incorruptible. So we long for what we do not yet have. We wait for that expectantly. At that time, if you read Revelation chapter 1, be worth doing. It's just a few verses, verses 1 through 4. You'll see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband, and a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. And he'll wipe all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. In other words, translated, this time-space continuum is no longer going to produce thorns and thistles, and we're not going to need glasses. We're going to be translated into eternity. And in the meantime, thank God that we still have the opportunity to be faithful. And let's do that very thing. I mean, oftentimes I ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. It's for that very reason. We are a team together making a difference in this world. We're called to be salt and light. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Jesus said it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So we want to be salt and light and impact the world while there is yet time. So stand with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, and tune in for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition. So long for now.
How would your life be different today without the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, or CRI's website, books, and other resources? If the Christian Research Institute has blessed you this year, please help us bring more of those blessings to you and many others in 2017. Give a tax-deductible, special year-end gift within the month of December. Because the Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you, your gift truly matters. To partner with us in ministry, call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Russell Kirk has captured our modern plight, stating, a good many people fret themselves over the rather improbable speculation that the Earth may be blown asunder by nuclear weapons. The grimmer and more immediate prospect is that men and women may be reduced to a subhuman state through limitless indulgence in their own vices, with ruinous consequences to society. But despite the darkness, the good news is that believers can help others and themselves become winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of CRI's life-changing work, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Stu Epperson's First Words of Jesus, which poignantly connects the story of Christmas with the victory of the cross and resurrection. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.